Hey, everyone. Just wanted to give a quick update on the immediate future of the podcast going forward, where we've been and what we plan on doing in the next coming weeks, months. So essentially, we decided we were going to take a break around early May when the current batch of Star Wars shows wrapped up. We were all burnt out. We just needed a little bit of a break. Covering two shows at once really got to us more than we were expecting, and we were real excited to come back and launch our quote-unquote second season of For the Republic as we got into the summer months. Then stuff started to kind of hit the fan for me personally, and I decided I needed to take an extended break from the podcast. I was hoping to come back around midsummer, the last couple months, but then, of course, the stuff with the strikes went down. For those who don't know, both the WGA and SAG-AFTRA are currently on strike. They're fighting for things that they deserve, like a fair living wage, for them not to be replaced by artificial intelligence. The list goes on and on and on. SAG-AFTRA has posted guidelines regarding what is and isn't okay in terms of promoting struck content. And I have seen several content creators promote the current shows that are currently airing right now. If you're listening to this, we are currently a couple weeks into the newest Star Wars show that is currently airing. I hope you all are enjoying that and having a great time. Us here at For the Republic, however, we are choosing to abstain from covering any and all current Star Wars visual media until the strikes are over with. So you will not see any episode reviews for any current TV shows until a fair agreement is reached on the part of the actors and writers currently on strike. In the meantime, though, we are going to try some new fun things. We are going to be focusing on the non-screen aspects of Star Wars, the books, the comics, the games, the fun parts that make us fans. We are going to be focusing on that. We're going to be bringing in some new guests. We're going to be introducing some new segments. And we're going to try to have some fun while navigating this strange but difficult but also interesting time as creators. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials so you stay up to date on what our plans are, what we have in store, any updates on the podcast, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
You're listening to For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation.
There.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation. Holy moly, has it been a while. Andrew and Don are back again, and yeah, it has been a very strange couple of months for us. We took a little bit of a break after our Mando Season 3 coverage, and then life hit the fan. I got sick for a while. I lost my job. I got another job, and then we've been trying our best way to navigate through the current SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes. So if you're not following us on any of our social media accounts, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at For the Republic Pod on Twitter, and at For the Republic Pod on Instagram and Threads. I don't really post much on Threads, but you know, you get the deal. You can see all of our newest updates, but to keep it brief, we are not discussing any current Star Wars visual projects. So any current shows that may be airing right now on a certain streaming service, we are not talking about that until after the strikes are over. We would love to, but you know, it's our best way to stand in solidarity with the actors and writers who deserve to be paid a fair wage and to be able to have basic stuff like healthcare and to be able to make a living and pay rent and go to the doctor without having to worry about being in debt. So we're going to have a little bit of fun.
Not be put out of a job by software. Yeah,
exactly. So we're going outside the box for a bit. We are going to be focusing on the other stuff about Star Wars that we love, like the books, the comics, the games. And with the theme of this episode, the merchandise, the collecting aspect of Star Wars, which I am it's a crippling problem of mine, but we're not alone now, because we're going to be having a bunch of special guests with us over the next couple episodes, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Like this week, you know her from Stardust Records, Savvy is once again back on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Like I said, we were talking before the episode started. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I am very excited to get going on the pod again. Because like I said, I think it's been since early May, and I am just ready to go. So how have you, like, what have you been up to? I know you were saying that the show has been, or your podcast at least, has been on a bit of hold for a little bit. Like, what have you been doing right now as you're navigating through these weird times?
Yeah, so over at Stardust Records, Lens and I have exclusively just been focusing on written work. So Delilah S. Dawson's book, Rise of the Red Blade, just released, so we did cover the first two parts of that. But, you know, life happens and life is life, and I'm going through a big change, and Lens and I were actually together for like 2 weeks in person, so we couldn't really find, I know this sounds silly because we were together, but like we couldn't really find a time to sit down and record, so we're kind of still navigating. We will be posting that finale hopefully soon, but I think we have like a High Republic first read coming in, and so yeah, we have some plans, but this has been a little tricky to navigate, I think.
Oh no, definitely. Like, we had some stuff planned, and we do have some stuff coming out in the pipeline. I know one of those episodes you will also be a part of once again, but it's just been a weird way of figuring out, like, what are we going to do? Should we even do episodes? Like, but I think this is going to be a little bit of a fun thing. Now, before we get going on the main thing, I have a new segment I would like to introduce called The Jedi Archives.
Impossible. Perhaps the archives are incomplete.
So, the way that this is going to work, I totally stole this from another podcast I used to listen to, but the way this is going to work is we're all going to nominate something in the realm of Star Wars, be it a character, be it something that we love about this franchise, and what we're going to do is we're going to leave it up to the listeners of who is going to be inducted into the Jedi Archives every episode. So we will be posting a poll over on Twitter. I don't know the other name of the site that someone is currently trying to call. It's not that. We're not calling it that. And we are going to leave it up to you guys of who is going to be inducted every week. Don, I will leave it up to you to start things off. Do you have someone that you would like to add to the archives this week or something? What do you have in mind?
Okay, so I'm going to nominate a video game to go into the archive. Right now, movies and TV shows are strictly off limits because, you know, hey, AMTP, pay your writers and your actors a fair wage. Come on, it's not that hard to do. Come on.
It is not.
But, if I could, my first nomination is going to be Galactic Battlegrounds, which was a game for the PC that I played. It was like, it's a strategy game, very much in this same kind of wheelhouse as Halo Wars, Red Alert, that kind of thing. And it's like, it was really, really fun. There were a lot of cool campaigns. It really kind of got me invested in the whole lore around the Wookiee homeworld of Kashyyyk. And just playing all the different factions was just like a lot of fun. So yeah, I have that game as a fond, as a special place in my heart as a Star Wars
fan. I have never played Galactic Battlegrounds. I have a game episode planned out that I think we're going to do in the next couple of weeks. So you can definitely talk about it more there. But that's one of the ones where I've never played it. I wanted to recently, I know it's on Steam. I was recently thinking about picking up Empire at War, because I'm pretty sure that's another similar kind of game. And
yeah,
I remember
Starship Combat.
Yeah, I remember like seeing the trailer for that, because it came, I think it came with the original Battlefront 2. And I remember seeing the trailer for Empire at War, and I was like, this looks really cool. And I just never played it because I think it was PC exclusive. And my PC back in the day couldn't run jack shit. So Not much different now. I am going to stick to the realm of games, and I'm going to nominate a character, though. I'm going to nominate Night Sister Marin from Jedi Fallen Order, Survivor. I'm currently reading Battle Scars, and I have yet to play Survivor because I do not have a PS5. But I just remember being so immediately entrenched by her character the first time I played Fallen Order. And I remember just the joy of when I got to the point in the game where she joined the Mannis crew. And I was just like, yeah. Oh, man, I wonder if we're going to do some like cool like dual combat with her and Cal. And then that didn't happen in the first game. But her progression was so fun. And I just love seeing a Night Sister get such great spotlight and have like kind of like a redemption story in real time throughout the story. You see her just so angry at what happened to her people and her relationship with Cal and by default the rest of the Mannis crew. I love seeing that, or reading that I should say, during Battle Scars. It's such a great Marin story, and Sam Maggs I thought has done just a great job of writing the character. I'm not currently finished with the book. I know you might be saying, Andrew, the book came out in like April. What the hell are you doing? I'm like, dude, I don't have my attention span is terrible. But I love
so many Star Wars books to read. Come on.
So many. I have that. Yeah. I have to finish High Republic stuff and then Rise of the Red Blade and then Return of the Jedi from a certain point of view just came out. I haven't even picked that one up yet. It's just we're behind here. At For the Republic, you might be saying you've had 3 months to catch up on stuff. It's different. I'm sorry. But I love Marin so much. And I am excited to have her as my first nom for the archives. Savvy, do you have anything that you would like to put in there? Or do you, what are you thinking?
I think so.
Okay, what are we doing?
So I'm sticking to the books, but it's a character. It's Master Jorah, so Wreath's master. I think I said
Yes.
I love Jorah Mali.
Okay,
I love Jorah.
Don't say anything. I'm on Into the Dark. I'm reading that first before the
Light
first.
Of the Jedi? Yeah.
Yes. It's how it was recommended to me, but her concept art is so... it just captured me. I love that her, like, Leku almost look like those animal scarves from like the 1940s that like women wore around their like neck. And I don't know. I dig the white and the gold, and she bewitched me body and soul. I love what I've read so far. And I love that she kind of humbles Wreath a little bit. And
yeah,
in like she's the really most
great
like,
character.
It's like little nips here and there, and it's really cute. I like their dynamic a lot. So yeah, I'll nominate Master Jorah.
I love Into the Dark. It kind of gets overshadowed to me at points by Light of the Jedi, and her story in Light of the Jedi is great. And they're like we were talking beforehand,
yeah,
during this episode, just about how many great characters there are in the High Republic. I say as someone who is a phase behind, I don't know what it is. Phase behind, I think I'll say, because I haven't.
I'm two books in currently.
Yeah, we were talking, and I was like, because phase three is coming up, and I might just go straight from one to three and go back and read two down the line and hope that I don't miss out on anything important, but we will see. But Master Jorah is another one of those characters where there's so many great ones in the High Republic that she kind of falls under the radar at points. So I'm glad that you gave her some spotlight. Same. I think a great batch for our first installment of the archives. I plan on doing this during every show. I just think it's going to be a fun way to get viewer engagement and just keep us excited and to talk about different stuff than what we're talking about in each episode. So if you head over to our social media, I will put these polls up once these episodes launch. You can vote between Don's choice of Galactic Battlegrounds, Savvy's choice of Master Jorah Mali, and my choice of Night Sister Marin. And you can decide who is going to be the first inductee into the Jedi Archives, because perhaps they're incomplete. We don't entirely know yet. But the main thing of this episode is One of the last episodes we did kind of before we went on our hiatus, I introduced a new segment basically where I just talked about my thrifting adventures, and we called that Scavenger Show and Tell. And we are basically just making an entire episode out of this little segment because I have a huge collecting issue. It's bad. it's really bad. And me currently being in a state where I can't like go to Target every fucking week and be like, hey, I'm going to buy every Black Series I see. It's weird. But yeah, no, I have a huge collecting problem. It's really bad. But I love talking to other people about their collections and showing off aspects of their collections. And the beauty is it's not just like what's in the collection. It's the stories behind them. We're all going to be showing off a couple things here. And to be honest, none of mine are really like super cool things. I just have stories behind them. And it's why, like, for the first installment of this, I had several things I could have picked. There was one that just missed the cut because I couldn't get it out of storage. But I am excited to show them off, and I'm excited to share the stories behind them. Savvy, if you want to kick things off as our guest, I know that you sent me the things to show off. So which did you want me to pull up, the first one first or the second one first?
You do the second one. I feel like it has a quicker explanation.
Okay. So just full transparency, our wonderful guest is currently in the process of moving, so we didn't have the stuff on hand, but we do have the pictures and we do have the stories behind them. So this is your first, your first piece here. Give us a little bit of background behind, this is like a Rogue One comic. Give us the background behind it.
Yeah. So, this is the first appearance of Cassian Jin and K2, and it's an adaptation of the film that they are a part of. So, I'm not sure if this comic came first or if the film came first. It is known to be like the first appearance of these characters, though I'm not entirely sure if that's like in the comic world, or
it might have come first, because I know like Catalyst and like those books came first.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
It is interesting. It is considered rare, though I have seen it, you know, on certain websites for a pretty reasonable price. But I love it. I think it's so special, especially because I, you know, love Rogue One, but knowing that I own the comic where they first appear is really cool. And it's part of like a trio of variants, which I think one of them is Terry Dodson. I'm not sure. I'm not like a big comics person, but Terry Dodson is really lovely. I've met him twice.
Yeah.
He's signed some of my comics and stuff, but yeah.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah. I live close to Seattle, so he frequents that local con, Emerald City Comic Con. So every time I've gone, I've just kind of like meandered my way over to him and brought him a new comic. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not
that's
sure.
That's great. I love that.
Go ahead.
Terry Dodson's work is fantastic. Like, cause I've read a lot of Marvel comics, and and Rachel Dodson have often worked on a whole bunch of those. Like there was a Spider-Man comic I grew up reading, so that's awesome. I'm really happy for you. That's great.
Yeah, it's really cool. But this variant is by I'm gonna butcher their last name, but it's like Quinones or something, and it's really cool. I have the trio, so but this one was I feel like was worth bringing up because it was the first appearance.
Yeah. My question to you is, did you get this like during the wave of the stuff coming out for that movie, or was this a later purchase?
It was a later purchase, so I honestly haven't started, so like collecting for Star Wars started very recently. I just never knew it was a thing until I got Twitter, essentially.
I wish I could say the same.
Yeah, I just never thought to like collect. It just was never on my mind. Like, I worked at the movies when Rogue One came out, and they had.
Oh, same.
Cool. I worked for Regal.
I also did. This is.
That's so cool.
Real time bonding here at For the Republic.
You remember the
six degrees of separation.
Yeah.
You remember the like Rogue One cups with like the straws.
Yeah.
And the buckets.
I didn't get them. I have the ones for Solo and Last Jedi, but I do not have the Rogue One ones.
Yeah. See, upsetting. If I would have known that those would be resold now as like a collection item for like a pretty high price, I would have got them.
Yeah.
But.
That was
like that.
I remember because it's so crazy because there are so many stories of me just like having to clean a theater knowing that I haven't seen that movie yet. And Rogue One was one of them. Me and I too. Was just like, no, like I don't want to hear anything.
Well, did you also have that like unspoken, unofficial rule where you had to wait a week before you could see the movie?
Nope.
We did. So I had to like, I was like dying to see it. I worked opening night, opening weekend. I like had to see it again. And I was like, please don't say anything.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell a little bit of a story here. So opening night of the movie that came out in 2015, I was 17 at the time. So I thought it would be safe because in New York State, minors couldn't work past 10 o'clock. So I thought it would be safe if I bought a 1040 IMAX ticket to see the first Star Wars movie in 10 years. Because I was like, oh my God, I got to do it. I got the ticket. My friends and I were going to go. And then they put out like a slip the week before the movie comes out. Like, hey, this is going to be like the busiest movie ever. Any minors, sign this slip so you can work past 10. And I was like, I already bought those tickets. So I got in a little bit of trouble there. But I just so many memories of working those Star Wars opening nights. Some of them weren't great. I did all the Disney ones except Rise of Skywalker because I had already left at that point. And they were something else. It was really fun. And I have some core memories attached to that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, one last time. Savvy's first item is the first edition of the Rogue One comic adaptation by Marvel. I admittedly, the like movie and TV adaptations are some of the comics I just haven't read. Mm-hmm. So I would be very interested in going back and reading some of the Rogue One ones. I know the only one I really know of is the, and I don't think they did any for Andor, but I know that some people aren't big on the Cassian and K2 one shot that they did. I know it's a little bit mixed reception, but I don't know if you ever read that one.
I have. I'm not a huge fan of it. I feel like it was released because we didn't know, or like they didn't know that we would get more content regarding, you know, those two characters. So it was kind of like a, here's a one shot thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
We know that you had to say goodbye to them, but like, here's a, but now that we're getting more content of these specific characters, I feel like it's kind of like the importance of it is just not like,
yeah,
it also feels like this is a personal opinion and I'm going to state it cause this is a safe space. But, the way Cassian is written feels very like, I'm going to say generic. Like, it doesn't feel like Cassian. It feels like another character in the stories that I won't say the name of. But I have read that comment quite a few times. Like, I know that I'm not the only one who feels that way.
Yeah, the one thing I know that's been specifically brought up is people were talking about, like, oh, changes made to canon. And the one time I heard the Cassian comic get brought up was, this was the one thing they wouldn't mind if it got retconned.
So yeah.
That's, yeah. I think it's good that we're moving on from that. But I would definitely not mind at all more stories in the written world from this batch of characters, because I am one of the poor souls that has never read Catalyst nor Rebel Rising, when I've had them on my shelf for various amount of years.
Yeah.
So I need to get to that, and I'm hoping that we get a wave of new novels and stories. Give me a Bic story, please, you cowards, or I'll write it myself.
Yes, I really hope so.
And yeah, so I could keep going on for 20 minutes. But Don, take things away. What is your first thing that you would like to show off today?
Okay, so the first thing I'd like to show is also a book, but it's not a graphic novel, although I have read several of them. It is the Visual Dictionary series of books that have been published by DK. So I got these back around the time, back around the 2000s, the original set that would just cover the various films, which we shall not name, because we are in solidarity with the strikers. Go WGA, go SAG-AFTRA. But I just remember really, I really enjoyed pouring through these, the level of, the way they just went through all of the various characters, creatures and weapons and everything. It really just, it really helped make everything feel so much more tactile and just really interesting. And there's just some really interesting writers who worked on this. The first several are written by David West Reynolds. There's one that's written by James Lucino, who I believe wrote Catalyst, just to connect to that there. And Catalyst, then the later ones,
Plagueis, he's written a couple of different stories.
Yeah. And then the Disney era. And then what was great is, and here's another one. I'm going to like cover up the name at the bottom. But there was another one that was, there was obviously other ones that were released. I'm kind of counting this as a series here. And for me, that was kind of like a signifier, because like we walked by, I remember like being out shopping with my family just before a certain movie released in 2015, and I remember walking by the latter book that I just showed in a bookstore, and I just got like a little like bump of nostalgia and like a sudden realization of, oh wow, Star Wars really is back, because, you know, these books that I just really enjoy reading and just like pouring through are like here. It's like the experience, the whole experience of being a Star Wars fan was coming back, as well as just like the movies and everything.
I have such a fond spot for the Visual Dictionaries. They are like, I have a couple of the like, not the ones for the films, but like you'll have the vehicles or like stuff like that. I have a couple of those.
The cross-section ones. I love those. I've got those as well.
I have that one. I don't have any. My big thing is the art of books. I love those. I'm looking at them on my shelf right now.
Those are so good.
I love them. They're a bit more pricey than the Visual Dictionaries, but I do love them. But I have fond memories of, even though I've never owned them, like the library used to live about 2 minutes away from. I remember they had some from the early prequel movies, and I would look through them when I was a kid, whenever I would go there. And the last time I went thrifting, I actually found the Visual Dictionary for the Clone Wars movie, which was crazy. I didn't pick it up, but I really should have, because I've really just considered going to like Amazon or something and just buying the original Visual Dictionaries, because I eventually need to add them to my collection, but I sadly do not. But I love them. They're such a fun way of like familiarizing yourself with like the little details in Star Wars, which has been always been one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
And like I can use that as an example of why I know certain background character names, or why like in a movie that came out in 1999, like I knew the various different astromech droids in the one scene where they're fleeing Naboo. It's just like little things like that. I'm like, how do you know that at 6 years old? I'm like, Visual Dictionary.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Max Rebo. I know Max Rebo and all of Jabba's assorted band is thanks to these Visual Dictionaries. They're a goldmine of like information for sure.
So yeah, great little thing to show up. Go ahead, Sammy.
No, I was just going to add on, like, I feel like they're really important to the story as well. They are kind of a hidden gem, but I do feel like without them, the characters and the story and like the little aspects of the film, like, wouldn't feel the same without these like extra eyes and extra, you know, hands on them, or like the art book for, not the art book, the Visual Encyclopedia, or something for Rogue One has a page for every single Pathfinder on the ship at the end where we see Scarif, like when they go to Scarif. And each character now, like when I see the film, I'm like, I know them and like I know their backstory. And one of them I think is like hard of hearing. And I would have never known that if I had never purchased the.
That's so really crazy. Cool.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
I gotta get more of them. It's insane. And I know we've been, they haven't really been doing many of them since 2019. I'm hoping that once we get whatever's coming in the future in the world of theatrical projects, that they come back, because they've been sorely missed. I know it's been a creative choice to not have that type of stuff with a certain recurring universe, but I don't know. I think they should come back. Go ahead, Don.
I was going to say, I think they are making one that's like based on the more recent stuff, the more recent projects. But yeah, I'll have to like double check that after we've
There's concluded. Some type of one of those reference books that's coming out that I'm really excited for.
The Dawn of the Rebellion.
Dawn of the Rebellion, yeah. I really need to pick that one up.
Yeah, I was excited for that one because Timelines, which is amazing and so impressive.
I'm looking at that right now too.
Yeah, it didn't have the more recent projects, at least not the one that came after the one the Rebellion one.
But, yeah.
Didn't have anything in it. And I was like, man, I wonder if they'll do something else. And they will. So I am really excited to see how
fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
As for my first choice, we're dipping back into the world of the comics here. And it's one that I'm excited to show off. It is the first edition of Crimson Reign, signed by Charles Soule.
Wow, that's so cool.
So, keen eyes may have noticed I've had it in my backdrop recently. But little backstory here. Last year, I was on a vacation in like the Baltimore, D.C. area. And we went to a comic book shop and they had a whole section of just like signed comics by some of the artists. And I was looking, and I saw Soul. And I was like, there's got to be something, right? And they had the first edition of Crimson Reign. I love Kira with all of my heart. She is one of my favorite characters, and I have bonded with several people on Star Wars Twitter because of it.
I love Kira so much.
That's why Liv and I first clicked, was because I found one of her Kira cosplays. And I was like, dude, this is amazing. It was like right before last year's celebration. And we became mutuals. And I love her character. And I haven't read Hidden Empire yet, full disclosure, but Crimson Reign was such a fun run. And I grabbed this before I even read it. But I was like, "I this is something I need," because Charles Soule is one of my favorite authors. I love the character. And it's just one of my, I don't have many signed things in my collection, but it's something that I want to like eventually get more of. And this is just one of those cool things where I'm like, hey, I love this character. I needed to get this. They also had, I don't remember what the other series, I think it might have been the first issue of Han Solo and Chewbacca, which I wasn't reading at that point, but they also had a signed variant of that one, which looking back, I should have gotten that because the stuff I have read from that is really fun. But I love that. And I wanted to show off something. Each aspect of what I'm showing off is like a different corner of my little collecting things. So that was just a really cool one that I saw. And just shout out Charles Soule, shout out Kira. Really love that I have that. And that was just one of those chance things where I wasn't even looking for it when I found it. And I was like, I need to pick this up. Like, this is something I thought I could only get at like a convention. And I just found it at a random cool comic book shop in downtown Baltimore. So that was really sick. Savvy, I know, I believe you have one less item than the two of us. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to just send it back over to Don, and then you can join us for the last round of stuff, if that's okay with you.
That's fine with me.
All right. So Don, what is the second thing that you have for us today?
Okay, so yeah, this is kind of like increasing in size basically as we go on. So I'm just going to go and retrieve merch item number 2 over here. Oh, just got to like lift him off his perch right over here. So this is number 2. He's a little big, but yeah, this is my UCS Lego UCS slave one. Oh, the little piece just fell off there. But yeah, so I am an avid collector of Star Wars Lego. Like, I love collecting Lego in general.
That's me.
Yeah, like, yeah, you and I, Andrew, like, we're both very much like diehard Lego collectors when it comes, especially when it comes to Star Wars. But like, for me, this is like one of those Lego sets I own that like really kind of is like the pinnacle of my Lego collecting. And just like, you know, I've always loved the experience of like just putting Lego sets together. It's a really meditative thing. It's just something I've never really like. It's not something I've really ever grown out of since I was a kid, because I just love the meditative feeling of just like getting all the stuff together. And I just love the almost kind of artistry by which like author technicians who like work on these like various like building sets, just like this thing alone is just like incredible. Like, I'm so proud to have this thing as like part of my collection. And I'm not even like, I obviously love Boba Fett. I think Boba Fett's a great character. He's always kind of fluctuated in and out of like my favorite Star Wars characters, but I have always loved the design of this ship. You know, Slave One or Boba Fett's starship.
Boba Fett's first.
You pick it. You know, pick your preference, whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly. The firebrand. Yeah. Like, how awesome is this ship that, like, even if you refer to it by, like, it's just, like, its class of ship, it sounds badass. You know, like, a fire spray ship. It's, like, you know, it's the coolest thing. It's one of the most coolest designs in, like, all of Star Wars, you know. And there's, like, there's so many cool ship designs. But, yeah, this is, like, this is something I've been very happy to have as, like, part of my collection since I was 20, I think. I think this was like built for my 20th birthday.
Is that a recent one, or is that
an older one? I've had it for like a couple of years now, and it was just like it was a beast to build, but it was like it was such a rewarding thing to finally have it. I will show off the little display case that comes with it. There's a little display thing here to like hold him in place, and it's got like a cool little like, you know, it's a little dusty, but you can see there's like specifications and like just like a little backstory for it, and it's just really cool. So yeah, I'm very happy to like show this off, even if I have to be a little delicate with it because I don't want to break him.
Okay, so we're continuing off our collection episode. You might be wondering, why does everything look different? It's because we, if you're watching on video, we did this in two different sessions. So this is actually being recorded like a week or so after we did the first couple editions. Don unfortunately had a bit of a reaction, so he's just going to be audio, but we do have images of his collections that we will show off when we get to his. We just got through his really cool looking UCS Lego Slave One. And now I guess we can loop back to Savvy if you want to show off the one that you have with you, and then we can save the other one for last.
Okay. I think I said something like this was the one that like wasn't super exciting, but like the meaning behind it was. But I have this signature card. It's like, it's from Duncan Pai. He was Sergeant Melshi in Rogue One, and then he came back to Andor as like Melshi in the Narkeena 5 prison. But like before we knew he was coming back, you know, he was just the guy in Rogue One. But this isn't the specific card, but it is like very similar. It's just not the same color. I went to my first Star Wars celebration was the Anaheim one. And I would super into Rogue One. This was like before I even had a podcast. I was kind of newer on Star Wars Twitter, like newer to meeting everyone. So I had never collected a Topps card before. And there was a Topps card booth. And I was like looking through all of them. And his was the first one that I like came across. And I loved Melshi. He was like, before he graduated to main character, like he was my glub. And like the story behind his character is very cool. Like Tony Gilroy just kind of met this guy on set and like talked to him. He talks about it in a podcast. And is just literally bases Melshi like off of Duncan essentially. So like the
Duncan was working production, right? And yeah. Then Gilroy made the part for him.
Yeah, Gilroy was like, I like this guy.
I liked him so much. I upgraded him to main character. And he's awesome as well. He's such an awesome, like, he's got such an understated presence. I love Melshi. He's great. He is to you, I would say, what Hu Yang kind of is to me, really, as like glup shittos.
So this was a pre-Andor purchase, right? Because this was at Celebration.
This was a pre-Andor purchase. Like, Andor, like, it was the last day of Celebration, so we did have, like, a poster and the teaser for Andor, but, like, there was no... Like, we didn't know Duncan was going to come back. There was speculation, but there was no confirmation.
I remember being on Twitter during the, the beach set pick leaks.
Yeah,
those... And everyone was freaking out.
Yeah, those beach set picks, but...
Oh, man.
This was... What got me into Topps card collecting, like now me and my co-host Lindsay are like really into it. We do it together. And like every time we go see each other, we kind of exchange Topps cards and stuff. And I got some cards at Celebration London, but this was my first one. And it like means a lot to me. And I know that people will be like, well, it's just like a signature. But I do hope like one day that I can get like an actual... Like at one that I like see Duncan sign. And so, yeah, hopefully that this is that gateway into it.
No, that's awesome. That is
awesome.
You'll
manifesting
be
that scenario for you.
I did the Star Wars Dragon Con quiz the other day and I got the Melshi question wrong. I misremembered the movie. I was like, no, it wasn't. It was like, who breaks Jin out of Wabani?
You didn't know it was Melshi?
I was like, is it? I don't think Melshi shows up that early in the movie. And then he does. I was wrong. So
and in the novelization, Jin doesn't like know his name for a really long time. So she only refers to him as the guy she hit with the shovel.
Yeah, I've just had a really bad streak of getting Rogue One and Solo related questions wrong. In trivia things lately. You'll see more of that eventually. My second thing is the one that I mentioned might be a little bit creepy, but it's a little unsettling. I'm going to be completely honest. So
it's a hell of an
introduction. Yeah. So I have been really big into like finding stuff, like while I'm thrifting lately. And I remember a couple months ago, I think I've shown this to you before, Don. I went to like this indoor flea marketplace, which is actually, there's a story related to my third one, which we'll get to, but that's a bit more sentimental. And I have seen people post these specific things on Twitter and Instagram a bunch, but I'd never seen them in person. Around 1999, a certain first prequel movie was coming out, and one of the things that they released to market it were these Queen Amidala dolls. So I have the Hidden Majesty Queen Amidala, which is like little handmaiden there, and then the queen. It's a little spooky. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't think it's spooky.
I love it. It's so cool. And they had more of them because there's like a whole.
Well, you got like a handmaiden there as well. Yeah, there's a handmaiden
in there and Padme. There's a whole set of them. And they had like four or five of them when I went the first time. I only got this one because I was like, I'm not going to get them all now, but I want to at least get one of them. And I'm eventually going to try to collect the whole set.
I'm pretty sure I have a couple of figures from that line. I think I've got the Obi-Wan and the Darth Maul from that line, like in storage. That is nuts.
They had one.
They also
Sorry. Oh, you go, Savvy. You go.
There's like a beautiful one of Padme. I'm forgetting the outfit, but it's like the one where it's not Padme. It's like it's Sabe.
Sabe.
Yeah.
In the black outfit.
Yes, it's so cool. I've seen that at so many thrift stores, but I've never like.
Oh, it's on the bottom of this or the back of this box, I think. Is it?
Oh,
yes, that's it.
There,
the one.
Oh, that's cool.
With the headdress.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I want to get a bunch of these because it's just, it's so like Star Wars is back type of thing. Like we're gonna have literally everything. Like we're gonna have these like Barbies, but not Barbies for. Episode one, and yeah. I don't know. I remember when I went to my first celebration, I don't have this with me, but someone was making like custom ones of these. So I got like a mullet Kenobi, like in this style, which was custom made, yes. Which is just really cool. And that's just chilling in my room somewhere. But I just wanted to show that off because it represented like the first one I had represented. Something cool I found, and then the other one is more of like me going out of my way to find a cool piece of Star Wars merch that I saw and wanted to eventually get myself. And then the third one's a bit more sentimental, which we'll get into when we get there. Don, if the you thrift? Would like... Yeah, the thrill.
I was going to say, the thrift is strong with this one.
It was, honestly, that time. When I went back the second time, there... The selection was not as good, but I'm going to try to go again soon and see if I can find some more good stuff. So, Don, your last piece that you're going to show off today, give us the backstory before I pull up the first picture.
I'd be happy to. So, like, this particular item came to me, like, during 2000, like, pretty much, like, when my... awakening as a Star Wars fan had like begun when I'd seen a certain prequel movie that came out and my parents my mom in particular very generously fed my newly awakened fandom with just some very incredible like merch, like just cool stuff for a kid to have. And like this was like there's a lot of cool Phantom Menace like merch that I have. Like I've got like the comlink thing. I can't tell you how many times like I use those little chips, those electronic chips to like play the voice clips. I think that's where I developed like a thing for like trying to memorize quotations and stuff, because it was such a fun thing. But like the linchpin for me of this like collectathon of like Phantom Menace merch here is this item, which is Queen's Royal Starship playset. Man, I still can't believe I have this thing. It's just it is one of the coolest pieces of Star Wars merch that I still own. It's missing a couple of pieces. I need to find those. They're still in storage, but it is I love the ship in general because it's like it's one of the coolest ship designs. Yeah. It's like it represents just how different that era of Star Wars is willing to be. You know,
it's got the insides of it too. First of all, that thing's massive, and then it's got like, that's so cool.
It opens up at the top, and there's the cockpit seats where you can put the characters in. There's like a little elevator where you can like feed like R2 figure up to the top. There's a little special ship that pops out. Underneath, kind of like the OG Lego Millennium Falcon in the 90s. There's like a little throne room for the Queen with a retractable.
Dude, look at that.
With it landing.
I'm going to try to find this. I think I saw this at a celebration and I didn't get it.
It's so detailed.
It really is. They got so much detail like packed into this thing. I'm always amazed by it. Like, and it really helps having like all of the, because I had a Queen Amidala figure and I would just love to like just set them all up in that little mini throne room and get them all seated in the pilot's thing. It was such a cool time for me to be a Star Wars fan. I love it. I have so many fond memories with this thing.
I'm so mad that I was one when episode one came out, because I totally would have gotten that. Man, I had, I still have these somewhere. Maybe I'll show them off in a future episode, but I have like the Jedi Interceptors for Anakin and Obi-Wan when Revenge of the Sith came out.
I have those too. They're so cool.
I still have them. I lost the droids, but I still have them. And I just remember really enjoying that. But this is like that. On steroids, like this is huge. I want that. It really is. Really bad. As a super big fan of Padme's ship, I'm gonna need that at some point. I don't think they have a Lego set of that one though. Or if they do, it's an older one.
They haven't made it. I think they might have had a special. I think they did like a smaller model version that was used for the Lego games. But yeah, it's never had a Lego build, which is like, considering how many ships and designs have like had repeat treatments, you can't. I'm still sitting here waiting for them to do. Like, yeah, where's the UCS Queen's Royal Starship? I mean, it's such a cool design. I love that they also brought it back in the Darth Vader comics, like repainted for Vader to fly around. And it was just, it's a cool little bit of like fan service, but it also is a nice character thing as well because of what it means to Anakin. Yeah, exactly. Give us a UCS Lego Queen's Royal Starship, guys. Come on.
I'm going to need it. Savvy, for you, we have another picture. So this one is the main event for you as it defines your fandom.
Pretty much.
So here we go. What is this?
What? I'm so glad that I said the one with my real name blurred out. So I didn't even think about that. But I don't want to get like emotional about it, but I help run, because it's definitely not something I can do alone, but I help run News Andor on Twitter. And like Diego follows it, and Diego's been really kind and has like reached out. I wouldn't say we've like chatted, but there's been like conversation had, just essentially like hearing him say like, thank you for all the work that you've been doing. And, you know, it means a lot to the team. And I've gotten to see like Diego twice at Celebration and SWAU. They're like an official signature service, and they like do these things where you could get a signature from your favorite actor from like any fandom. So I was waiting and waiting and waiting for Diego's to pop up, and it did. And he doesn't necessarily do meet and greets, so I just thought that this would be like the one opportunity. And I did a personalized signature, and I had him say my favorite Cassian quote. And there's just something very cool about the like actor that you really admire write your name. It just feels like very personal. And he's like written my name out and stuff, and the co-founder, like the co-worker's name of News Andor. So it's just very cool. Like it means a lot. And Diego like doesn't just mean a lot to me, like regarding Andor and Star Wars. Like he did Penny Circo and like other things that like I really admired him for doing. Just like a lot of social activism and stuff, and it's very cool. So it was really fun to get that in the mail. I have like a picture of me that I will not show ever to anyone, of me opening it and like tears streaming down my face. And I was this is so cool. But yeah, it's another one of those things I feel like mean a lot to me.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I'm getting secondhand like heartwarming vibes just off of that story. That's so great.
Again, if you missed it, it's a signed picture of Cassian, signed by Diego Luna, and it says "Rebellions are built on hope."
And it's so cool. It's the first picture we got of Cassian after not having him since Rogue One, and the photographer Des Willey, I am mutuals with him on Instagram, is like the kindest guy ever, and he saw the picture on my personal Instagram, and he was like, "That's a great picture," and he had taken it, and I was like, you don't know like how much this picture means to me. Like we like got Cassian back like with radio silence since it was like announced in 2018 that he was coming back. So it was cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you're now the second person we've had on the show that has spoken to Diego Luna in some way.
Oh, who's the first?
I'm either Mo or Emily spoke to him at Celebrate. So you're the third. You are the third person that has spoken to Diego Luna.
They both got to meet him at the premiere. They both got to meet him together. Like they were
together with each other. And I thought that was so cool and so special.
We had them both on during our Andor recaps, and it was like the coolest thing ever, getting to talk to them about being there. And kind of like, at least in Emily's case, like how last minute it was. And it was like, because I think she was on vacation during the premiere. And I then like,
oh, yeah,
in Hawaii.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's coming up on a year, which is crazy.
That's insane, honestly. And yeah, that's just, it's a really cool moment. And moments like that, it's like, it's the sentimental things where it's like, collections are more than just, oh, look at this cool thing I have that I can put on a shelf. Like, if you have stories surrounding them, especially with stuff like that, where, like, this, that's nothing to be like, oh, like, that's a signed picture of Diego Luna. Like, that he's actually signed and you've had interactions with him. So that, like, that's so cool. Yeah. And that's just something that you can be like, oh, what's that? And be like, well, let me tell you a story here.
Yeah. That's what I've been getting from, like, all this stuff that we've shown. Like, we all have a story behind it. And, like you said, like, somebody could, you know, visit the house and see it and like just think of it as some thing, but like to us it means a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Which is kind of where I go into my last one, where my last one is nothing, it's nothing cool, honestly. It just has a story surrounding it. So
we'll Don be the judge of that.
Don and it's kind of a two-part thing. So Don and a lot of people we've had on the show know just how bad my figure collecting obsession can be. Like, I'll just throw in the Discord and be like, oh my God, look at this. And then just be like, oh, I dropped too much money. So this started back around the time of Revenge of the Sith first coming out. My grandpa had introduced me to the franchise, and I remember vividly going through like the Toys R Us or the Target aisles and just seeing like, wall-to-wall episode 3 stuff, which is just the stuff like that you miss, and I vividly have that stuff, like those packages memorized, and why I will specifically go out and try to collect every time I see, like, I'm at a retro store and I'll see a figure from that line. If I don't have it, I'll grab it just because I want to, like, display them all at some point. The first figure I remember buying myself, and I don't know why. I don't think I had a particular fascination with the character. Was it Anakin? Was it Obi-Wan? Was it Palpatine? Nope. It was Tarful. I don't know why it was. But I was 7. I probably thought it was Chewie. I was like, why? What's this weird name? But I got it. And the reason I'm showing this off is because it's the first figure I remember buying, and I still have it. And I'm never going to get rid of it. I had this displayed for a while, and I remember that same day I bought this Padme that I showed off earlier, I saw this same figure in the box, unopened, and I was like, should I? Just like, I have it. But I'm like, should I get it in package? Because one, it reminds me of my grandfather. And two, it's like, it would be the perfect, like, full circle moment for me to have that and then just be like, okay, so here's like the worn out one where the arm's kind of fucked because I probably played with it a lot when I was a kid, and it doesn't look great. And I'm pretty sure he had a bowcaster, and that's just gone now. That has not survived, but I have.
It's always
this.
The weapons like, that are the first to go.
Oh my God! Don't the amount of like lightsabers that just snapped in half. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm getting trauma flashbacks just thinking about.
But separate to that is one of the first ones I remember getting. It wasn't the first. It was that guy right there. But one of the first was this Vader, and the reason I'm showing it off is because it was on my shelf from 2006 till now. And then about 3 months ago, it fell off my shelf.
No.
And the arm is forever broken. And this was a gift, again, from my grandfather, probably around 2006. And it for almost 2 straight decades was on my bookshelf in some way, shape, or form. and it finally met its fate. But again, I knew I had to, like, if I was going to show off something, it was going to have to be a figure thing. And while I'll definitely have cooler ones and ones that I have better stories about going forward, it's like the fact that I still can pinpoint what the first one I remember getting was, and then having that story of re-encountering it all those years later, still like in box, is just something that's just, as a collector, is really cool to me. And it's not as cool as the Cassian thing or the Padme ship. But again, I have a story surrounding it. And I think those are the best parts of your collections, are the ones that if they remind you of someone, or they remind you of a specific moment, or if you can remember exactly where you were when you got that, those are the best parts. And if we do more episodes like this in the future, that is definitely something that I want to focus on more, because the best parts of fandom to me are your personal connections. That's why I started this podcast, not just to go through the stuff that we see on screen in animated and the newer stuff, which we will refuse to speak about right now. But it's just because everyone has stories like this, and not everyone's story of how they got involved into Star Wars is the same, but there's always something where, even if it's completely different from your story, and if you view the franchise differently than that other person, there's always stuff that you can come together with through just stuff like this, which I think is really cool. And that's why I love doing these episodes. Thank you guys for joining us for our return episode. It's been a long few months of not being here. I hope we never take this long of a break again, because I hated every minute of it. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, while we are in the midst of the strikes, first of all, make sure you support the actors and writers. I will try to put some resources in the description of ways that you can support them and how you can contribute to helping those on strike currently. The biggest solution, obviously, is for these studios to pay their actors and writers instead of spiking the prices of their streaming services, coincidentally. Yeah. Maybe actually just, go to the table and help them get a living wage. But also, we'll be doing more fun outside the box episodes like these in the meantime. We'll be bringing back our book club. Like we said, the first book is going to be Jedi Battle Scars, which Savvy and Linz will be returning to talk about that book. When we're going to do that episode, hopefully soon. And then we have a couple more down the line that we will be doing as well. Savvy, I know you're on a bit of a tight schedule, so if you want to just let them know where they can find you, and then we can head out of here for the day.
Yeah, you can find my personal Instagram and Twitter at Andorisms, and then you can find Lindsay and I's podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Stardust Records without the O. So Stardust Records.
That's the important part. Yeah. I remember I was like, where is it? Where is it? And then I was like, oh yeah, there's no O. So yeah, definitely check out their podcast and check out everything that they do, because they're awesome people and they deserve your support. Don, as for you, where can they find you now that we're back in the saddle once more?
Right, so you can find me on Twitter, because I'm not calling it by that ridiculous, off-brand sports shop name that Elon is trying to force on us all. You can find me on Twitter at Donovan Mead, where I post a bit about Star Wars, some politics. I've been posting a lot about Critical Role recently, because I've just really got into that. It's a really fun streaming show. But you can also find me on TikTok and Instagram under the same handle, Donovan_McComish. You can find me on SWEditorIG.com. I think the site is currently still down, but
I believe it is
soon. But yeah, so for when it's back up, definitely go and check it out, because we write news articles about Star Wars, and we also do a series of fan stories called SWEF, Star Wars Editor Fiction. I wrote one story that came out last year. It was called Scars of War. And it was a lot of fun to write. It was really, it's, if you like pain in Star Wars, PTSD, that kind of stuff, and Clone Troopers and Jedi and Rogue Mandalorians, then definitely go and check it out.
Perfect. As for myself, you can find me on all socials, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Starlight Andrew. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at For the Repub Pod and on Instagram at For the Republic Pod. If you're watching this on YouTube, hey, go ahead and help us out on our journey to 100 subs. We're going to be doing some, hopefully some more live content once we get back in the groove of doing more episodes again. And then, of course, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, support us on there as well. As for what else I'm promoting, In a Galaxy Trivia, Epic Confrontations, me and my partner Jacob Bausch recently filmed a teams match against Buck O'Brien and Mo, one of me and Savvy's dearest friends. So that is going to be coming out very soon. Check that out. It is an absolute barn burner, but it's against two really incredible people, and definitely check it out. It's a whole lot of fun. See me hopefully answer some answers about Star Wars correctly, but maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah, I should also add that I am a question writer.
Yeah, you're a question writer, and I got some of those ones hurt me really bad, is all I'm gonna say without spoiling.
I will not confess which ones I wrote.
Yeah, I know which ones Connor wrote, but those are obvious. And then as for what you might expect soon, like I said, we have the book club coming, but as of now, I think the next episode like this we're gonna do is going to be focusing on the games of Star Wars. So that will be fun, and hopefully we'll have some fun guests on as well to talk about another medium of Star Wars that we haven't really had a chance to talk about much on the show, but boy, do we have a bunch to do. So thank you guys for joining us for our first episode back. I hope you guys enjoyed, and hope you all are doing well, and we'll see you guys next time. And until then, may the Force be with you always.